This afternoon by singing 291, O Savior, whom absent we love, whom not having seen we adore, whose name is exalted above all glory, dominion, and power. 291.
O Savior, whom absent we love,
young people, I'd like to turn first of all this afternoon to a verse in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, what I would like to speak to you about this afternoon, dear young people, are these five names that are given here in connection with this prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice it says, His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I remember some years ago, some of the young people were playing a game, and the game consisted of trying to think of names in the Bible that began with each letter of the alphabet. And if I remember rightly, when they came to the letter W, they thought and thought, and finally somebody came up with the word Wonderful. Now, the Apostle Paul, in the 9th chapter of Acts, I believe in a sense, in a very real sense, discovered in his own soul the truth of this verse. You notice, beloved young people, that these names that are given here, these five names, are more characteristics than they are actual names. In other words, each name that's given here gives to us a certain characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ. The child that was born, the son that was given 700 years or so after his father was written. Now, I'd like you to bear in mind these five names: Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Now, would you turn with me to the 9th chapter of Acts? And rather than read this chapter all at one time, I would simply like to read it in sections connected with each one of the names that we found in Isaiah chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. His name shall be called Wonderful. And you know, dear young people, on this day in the life of the Apostle Paul, here called Saul of Tarsus, he met this glorious person. As he was on his way to Damascus, there shone a light from heaven. And you know, dear young people, Saul of Tarsus never, never was the same man again. On that day when that light shone into the life and into the heart of the Apostle Paul, when that light from heaven caused him to fall to the ground, and when those words came from his lips, Who art thou, Lord? And he heard that answer, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Saul Tarsus was never the same man again. You know, beloved young people, what I have to say this afternoon is particularly for those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust, I pray, that this glorious light from heaven has come into your life too. You know, I had a young man at my cottage the other day when I was there. He had come to be baptized. And when I was talking to him, I asked him when he was saved. And in the sweetest way, he said, I was saved when I was 6 years old. Now, he was a young man of about 11, going on 12. But he could tell me he had been saved since he was 6 years old. It isn't that it's absolutely necessary to be able to pick a day or an hour when you were saved, but you know, it was such a lovely testimony coming from that young man. He had known the Lord for nearly 5 years. That light from heaven had shone into his heart when he was only 6 years old. And there are men in this world today that are 60 that know nothing about this light from heaven at all. But you know, we find out something else about the Apostle Paul. We're going to come right back to this chapter, but I'd like to turn you to the 22nd chapter of Acts for a moment, to something that you've heard, I believe, commented on many times before. 22nd chapter of Acts and the 6th verse. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And then if you turn over to the 26th chapter of Acts for a moment, the 26th chapter of Acts and the 13th verse, At midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. When Paul told the story of his conversion there in the 22nd chapter of Acts, something in the order of 25 years had passed. 25 years. And in 25 years, in the heart and in the mind and in the thoughts and in the memory of the Apostle Paul, that light from heaven had become a great light. And then we find that 2 or 3 years later, when he tells the story again in the 26th chapter of Acts, that great light had become a light above the brightness of the noonday sun. Oh, beloved young people, had Paul forgotten that great event in his life? It had become more real and more precious to him as the years went by. He had discovered what it means. His name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful. And you know, right here this afternoon, there are dear beloved brethren that have been gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for over 50 years. Perhaps some who have been gathered over 60 years. And I have no doubt at all that they would tell you, if you could ask them this afternoon, is that name more precious, more wonderful, more real this afternoon than it was 50 years ago? And the answer would indeed be yes. I remember a dear brother many years ago. He was commenting on the second chapter of John's Gospel, the marriage feast of Cana of Galilee. And all he said was, I sometimes feel I have to say what the governor of the feast said. The best wine has been saved until now. The name is wonderful. Oh, beloved young people, you know that precious Savior. The Apostle Paul says, who art thou, Lord? And he found out the name of the person who is wonderful. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Beloved young people, you have been brought to know a wonderful, wonderful person. And what I pray for you, and what I pray and covet for my own soul, is that as each day and each month and each year goes by, until we see him face to face, he is more wonderful. And more wonderful, and more wonderful still. Now, what does this mean in a very practical way? Well, beloved young people, this person can, and he's ready this afternoon to satisfy your heart and mind. He is wonderful, wonderful. The Apostle Paul found this day a person that he could walk with, a person that could satisfy his heart, a person that could replace all that the Apostle Paul gave up, and have Paul say that he was the gainer for it, that he gained far more than he lost. You just read the third chapter of Philippians and hear the Apostle Paul saying, those things that were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, and doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Oh, beloved young people, was he wonderful? Did he satisfy the heart of the Apostle Paul? When they took the Apostle Paul and put him in prison, when they beat him, when they put his feet in the stocks, when he was there in that prison at midnight, what was he doing? Why, he was singing the praises of this wonderful person. This wonderful person. But then, you know, beloved young people, there's another step that comes into your life and mine, and I trust it has already come into your life. I can well remember the night that I confessed the name of Jesus as my Savior. And that was over 31 years ago now. And then there came the time, shortly afterwards, when I had the very precious privilege of being gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, of being able to take my place at the Lord's table and there sit down in his company, gathered to his name, where he has said that he is in the midst of his own, only to find out that he was wonderful. Wonderful to sit down in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and find it wonderful. I had a privilege just a little while ago, something that I'm sure some of my brethren here have perhaps done many times, but for me it was a completely new experience, and that was for three of us, a man and his wife and myself, just the three of us, to sit down and remember the Lord Jesus Christ together. And all to find out, beloved young people, that that wonderful person was there according to his promise. And that wonderful person made up for all the thousands that were missing, for all the people that I would have loved to have seen there, but who weren't there, but he was there. He was there. That's what it is to find him wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful. But now let's follow it a step further and think of what happens at times. Sometimes as we meet together around the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes in the little assembly that you come from, things don't go very well. Sometimes a brother or a sister says something that's very unkind. Sometimes there isn't much that attracts you naturally. You say, oh, well, there aren't any young people where I'm the only young person there. I'm the only person of my age group there. Or perhaps you hear it said, but there's a brother that isn't very nice, or a sister that says unkind things, or things that have, or somebody hurt my feelings. And then we find, sad to say, that this someone stays away from the meeting. They stop coming. What, has the wonderful person changed? Has that person whose name is Wonderful, has he changed? Has he ceased to be wonderful? If I'm honest in my own soul, if I'm honest, what I will have to say is, he's not as wonderful to me as he used to be, because I've allowed what that brother or that sister or what that person did or said to get my eyes off that wonderful person. And the result is that I find my feet get turned aside and led into some other path, some other way, something else. You sometimes hear of young people, and those not so young too, that will say, well, I didn't like what that brother said. I didn't like what he said. What he said was perhaps according to the word of God, but I didn't like it. And the result is feet turned aside again. What happened to the wonderful person to whose name you were gathered? Has he changed? Oh, beloved young people, remember this. His name is always wonderful. Always wonderful. He never changes. We heard this morning that beautiful verse, the same Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And if that precious name is not as wonderful to me this afternoon as it was a year ago, remember, he hasn't changed. His name is Wonderful. And the beloved apostle here met this wonderful person, found out that it was Jesus. And what did he do? Let's read the next portion now. The sixth verse. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, in it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. His name shall be called Counselor. Counselor. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. You know, I believe in the best translations. This verse here, "What wilt thou have me to do," in chapter 9 of Acts, is left out. But when you come to the 22nd chapter of Acts, it's there in its proper place. I believe there's a reason for that, and I just will mention it in passing. Because I believe that what is particularly brought before us in the 9th chapter is what Paul found in that person. And then in the 22nd chapter, when he's explaining something of the course of his life to those Jews, then he lets them know where he got his direction from. He has said to the Lord, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Beloved young people, have you found him to be wonderful? But what about the next step? Counselor. Oh, how that speaks to my own heart this afternoon. Counselor. Here we see the Apostle Paul, or as I mentioned, we find it brought out particularly in the 22nd chapter of Acts. "What wilt thou have me to do?" Beloved young people, I was talking to one young man here. I won't mention his name, so I won't embarrass him. But I was just talking to him just before this meeting. And I asked him how things were going, and he told me, "Fine." Then I said, "You're still at school?" And he said, "Yes." And then he said, "And I'm planning to go to college after I finish school." And he told me that he was, what grade he was in school. And then he said, "I'm planning to go to college after that." And all I said to him was, I said, "You know," I said, "this isn't a time for long-range plans." And then I said to this young man, I said, "Well, why did I say that?" And after he thought for a moment and mentioned one or two things, and he said, "And the Lord is coming." Yes, the Lord is coming. Oh, beloved young people, this isn't the time for long-range plans. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And oh, I trust that your heart and mind this afternoon is saying simply these words, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" His name shall be called Counselor. Counselor. Are you getting your direction, beloved young people, from the Lord? Are you going to him to ask him for the direction, to make the choices for you in your life this afternoon? Oh, how that speaks to my own heart. Am I asking the Lord to make those choices for me? You know, you've perhaps heard me say it before, but I've often told the young people back home that there are two ways for us to pray. One way to pray is to say, "Lord, bless my plan." And the other way to pray is, "Lord, make my plans for me." And there is a considerable difference between those two. One is to say, "This is what I want. Now, Lord, I'd like you to open up the way for me." Or the other is, as the Apostle Paul, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" To have the Lord make the choice. Oh, beloved young people, to have the Lord make the choice. His name is wonderful. And if that name has that sense in any measure in my soul, he is wonderful. Surely I want him to make the choice for me. I want him to choose the schooling for me. I want him to choose the job for me. I want him to choose the partner for me in life, if I'm to have one at all. I want the Lord to make those choices. I want the Lord to choose where I'm to live. That's what the Apostle Paul was saying. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Apostle Paul found that this person whose name was Jesus, this wonderful person, was ready to take complete charge of his life, to tell Paul what the next step was: "Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Now I believe, I just suggest to you, dear young people, that there is a reason, a real precious reason for your heart and mine as to why it says, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." You know, the city is a picture, a type that God uses of the confused state of affairs in this world. It's the place of multitudes of people. And the Lord has a place for you in the midst of all this confusion, all the multitudes of people in this world. He has a course for you and for you alone. But it's in the city. It's in the city. That is, God isn't asking you to go and shut yourself up behind some monastery wall somewhere. It's here in the city. In the 22nd chapter of Luke, if you remember, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, Peter and John, go and prepare us the Passover. And Peter and John had found his name to be counselor. So what do they say? They say, Lord, where wilt thou that we prepare? And the Lord said, go into the city. Go into the city. There's a testimony, beloved young people, to be rendered, a personal testimony, and a collective testimony to be rendered for the Lord here in this world. Go into the city. It doesn't mean for 1 minute that we're to mix with all the sin and the disgusting things that go on in this world. Not for 1 moment, but the testimony is here. Are you working in an office? Is that the place in the city where the Lord has put you? Are you at school? Is that the place in the city where the Lord has put you? Oh, beloved young people, what a precious thing. Go into the city. That is, it's here in the midst of people that we're to render a testimony. And what does the Lord say? And here to the Apostle Paul, says, it will be told thee what thou must do. And oh, you know, I love to think of that. I love to think, I have no doubt that it applies in its first application. The main thought here is exactly what Paul was to do in that city. But you know, those words characterize the whole of the life of the Apostle Paul. Go into the city and it'll be told you what you must do. Do you want to know, young people, what God's plans are for you next year? Oh, the Lord hasn't promised to tell you that, but he'll show you a plan for today. He'll direct your steps for today. He'll show you where in the city to go and what to do. It will be told you. And you know, beloved young people, it is a great source of comfort to my soul to be able to stand here this afternoon and say to you and say to myself, particularly to myself, this is a promise. It will be told you what you must do. The Lord will show you. The Lord will show you. Are you ready to turn to that one whose name is Counselor? Counselor. Oh, beloved young people, how many dear young saints of God, and again I say, and older ones too, who have decided to follow their own counsel, decided that their way is best, only to find out that in turning away, at least in spirit, from the one whose name is Counselor, they have chosen a course of sadness and sorrow and heartache. Oh, beloved young people, listen to the one whose name is Counselor. Listen. Listen to him saying, it will be told you what you must do. Ask him to direct your life. His name is Wonderful. He's worthy of it. The 17th verse. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Although the Apostle Paul had discovered something else. You know, the Apostle Paul, I had no doubt, knew the scriptures concerning the Messiah. I have no doubt that he knew, for instance, that the 9th chapter of Daniel spoke of the Messiah that would be cut off. But here we find that the Apostle Paul preaches, notice the language, the 20th verse, preach Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Not simply the Christ, it goes on to mention that he is the Christ, that is the Messiah, the Anointed One, but that he is the Son of God. And you know that verse in Isaiah chapter 9, it says his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. The Mighty God. Oh, beloved young people, do you realize who it is? Who it is that your Savior? Who it is that it is your companion? Who it is that is your friend? Who it is that wants to have complete charge of your life and mine? And I emphasize that, and mine. You know, in the 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we find there, we have those words, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And then it goes on to say, for what fellowship hath light with darkness, hath Christ with Belial, hath he that believeth with an infidel? And then it says, and come ye apart and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith what? Saith the Lord Almighty. Now, dear young people, let me tell you a little bit about that word Almighty for just a moment. You know, the Lord appeared to Abraham in the Old Testament, and he was calling Abraham to walk in a very special path. He was going to have to leave all his friends and all his family. He was going to have to leave the country where he was born. He was going to have to leave his father's house. He was going to have to go on this long journey into a country that he knew nothing about. And that's when the Lord says to Abraham, my name is Almighty. Almighty. It was the Almighty God that was going to go with Abraham and look after everything for him. And when you come to the New Testament, apart from the book of Revelation, apart from the book of Revelation, which takes us back and connects up with the prophecies of the Old Testament, the Lord never calls himself the Almighty anywhere in the New Testament except in that verse, 2 Corinthians 6. Why is that? Well, I suggest to you what I've found a great joy to my own soul. There the Lord is calling upon his own to walk as Abraham, a separated path. And oh, you can immediately think, can you not, of all the difficulties. Here I'm going to be going to school, and if I'm going to be separate, if I'm going to walk to please the Lord at school, it's going to make things very difficult there. Why, what does the Lord say? The Lord Almighty. The Lord Almighty is the one who will receive you and be a father unto you, and ye shall be his sons and daughters. It's the Lord Almighty who will take care of the circumstances. And here we have the same precious thing. The Apostle Paul discovered that it was the Son of God that he had met on the road to Damascus. It was the one who was truly the Almighty God. In Matthew chapter 28, we have that beautiful verse where it says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Now, why did he put that verse in there? How come that verse came in there? Well, if you notice, it says, The Lord Jesus had appeared with his 11 on top of a mountain. They had come there because the Lord had said that he would be there. And I trust that each one gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus here this afternoon is gathered because the Lord Jesus has said that he is there. We found his name wonderful. We've asked him for counsel, and he brought us to that place. And I trust that we're asking him for counsel day by day to be shown what to do. But in Matthew chapter 28, it says of the 11 that came together, it says they worshipped him, but some doubted. And what is the answer the Lord gives? Oh, I just love that 28th chapter of Matthew. You know, if I could put it this way, if you read that and you come to those words, and some doubted, surely we would be entitled to think the Lord at that point would say, what more proof do you want? He had appeared to them. He had shown them. The women had held him by the feet. And now here it is, some are doubting. But what's the Lord's answer? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Oh, beloved young people, what it is, what a marvelous thing it is to know the Son of God. To know the one who is himself, the Almighty God. The Almighty God. Can you conceive this afternoon, can you conceive of any problem, any question that could arise in your life or mine? That is too difficult for the Almighty God. You know you cannot. There have been, dear saints of God, who have gone out counting upon the Almighty God, and they have discovered what that verse means in the 107th Psalm, when it says, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, they see, the wonders of the Lord. They see his glories in the deep. They see what he can do. Oh, beloved young people, put him to the test. May God give you and I the grace to put him to the test. He's the Almighty God. Oh, and I think of the Apostle Paul here, making known right there in Damascus, right there in the very place where he had come to bind these people and cast them into prison. And now he's out standing there saying, he's the Son of God. I trust, beloved young people, that your lips and my lips are saying, he's the Son of God. But all what I covet more than that is that my life might be saying, he's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. Oh, beloved young people, you may be misunderstood. You may be criticized. You may find that people don't understand why you do the things you do, but your direction comes from the Lord. And remember that dear beloved apostle. He could say in Galatians chapter 1, if I yet please men, then am I not the servant of Christ. Get your direction from the Lord. Count upon him. Remember, he's the Almighty God. He's the Son of God. Now, notice again, please, the 23rd verse. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. You know the next clause of that verse says his name shall be called the Everlasting Father. Oh, beloved young people, what it is, what a great thing it is to know the loving care, of a father's heart that the Lord Jesus has for his own, has for you. You know, it says his name shall be called the Everlasting Father, or the Father from eternity is another translation of that same verse. And here we see, into what to me is the sweetest way, how the Apostle Paul learned that the Lord Jesus is an everlasting Father. We find in, while he was in Damascus, the Jews took counsel to kill him. The Lord has a basket. The Lord has a basket. You know, it was quite a come down for the Apostle Paul, that basket. If you read the account in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe it is, you find there the Apostle Paul tells us something of what that basket meant to his soul. How the Lord used it to teach Paul what it was to be nothing. To be content to be let down over the wall in a basket. Here was the great apostle of the Gentiles sliding down a basket over a wall. But oh, the Lord was looking after him. And you notice too, it says, and I think it's so beautiful, their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. You know, that to me is so beautiful. These were the people that the Apostle Paul had come to cast into prison. And here they are. They're taking, as it would seem, perhaps their life in their hands. But here they were caring for the Apostle Paul. Oh, beloved young people, what a lovely thing it is to see that everlasting Father looking after his own and so often using his own in their care one for another. To have that same care one for another. To see here the ones who Paul hated and who now he loved, caring for him and lowering him down over that wall in a basket. To see the Apostle Paul willing to take that humble place, get in a basket and go over the wall. And then the Apostle Paul comes to Jerusalem. And now in Jerusalem, he needs a sponsor. He needs someone that's going to speak for him. No problem for the Everlasting Father. No one for the problem for the care, one who has a care for his own. The Apostle Paul comes and the brethren are afraid of him. But there's a Barnabas. There's a Barnabas. And you know, beloved young people, the Lord always has his Barnabases. If we had read the middle part of that ninth chapter of Acts about Ananias, we would have found another one of the Lord's Barnabases there in Ananias. And you know, what we find there is a voice to my own soul, and I trust it is to yours. If you read the ninth chapter of Acts, again, perhaps you've noticed it already, you find there that when the Lord appears to Ananias and tells Ananias that he wants him to go to the Apostle Paul and be used to recover Paul's eyesight to him, Ananias speaks freely. He has liberty, and he speaks freely to the Lord about his concern. But you know, then the Lord says to Ananias, go thy way. That Paul was a chosen vessel. But then, what he says to Ananias is this. He says, Paul has already had a vision, saying, a man called Ananias would come in and restore his vision to him. Now, beloved young people, what does that mean to your soul and mine? Well, let me tell you how it speaks to my own heart. What the Lord is really saying to Ananias is, Ananias, I was so confident, I knew so well that you'd do exactly as I told you, that I've already told Paul you're coming. Beloved young people, how I covet that for my own soul. How I covet that for my own soul, to be ready to go where the Lord sends, counting upon the mighty God and the everlasting Father
knowing full well that when a basket is needed, it'll be there. Knowing full well that when a Barnabas is needed, it'll be there. And then we find, when he comes to Jerusalem, the end of the 29th verse, it speaks about the Grecians, the Hellenist Jews, that they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. These were the very ones that had been afraid of him just a short while before, and now here they are caring for their beloved brother Paul. Their beloved brother Paul. The Lord, the Father from eternity, the everlasting Father, cares for his own. And beloved young people, if you're going through a trial right now this afternoon, if you are knowing sorrow or difficulties or problems, remember, please remember, the everlasting Father knows all about it. The everlasting Father is looking for you to turn to him, to count upon the power of Almighty God and the compassion and love of the everlasting Father to enter into all your circumstances. There is no circumstance that he doesn't know about. And beloved young people, he wants you to cast your burdens upon him, for he cares for you. Now let's just read the 31st verse. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. His name shall be called the Prince of Peace. Oh, beloved young people, what a precious thing it is to realize that the Lord Jesus not only made peace by the blood of his cross, but he's given us his peace. And it is his intention, it is his desire that the assembly should be the place of peace. That the saints, you and I, beloved young people, that we might walk in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost and see the Lord do the multiplying. See the Lord add those whom he draws by his Spirit. See the Lord add his blessing. The Prince of Peace. To think, beloved young people, that we can, by the grace of God, walk through all the turmoil and upset of this world in the company of the Prince of Peace. In the 16th chapter of Romans, it says, "The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." Yes, dear young people, that victory is going to be manifested. The victory has been accomplished at Calvary. It's going to be manifested soon. And we're going to enter into the rest of God. Think of that. That's Hebrews chapter 4. Enter into the rest of God. But meanwhile, what it is to have the presence of the Prince of Peace. To know not only peace with God, that's the peace that has been purchased for us by the death of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. To know not only the peace of God, which is a result of taking all our circumstances and putting them in the Lord's hands, but to know the company of the God of peace. To know what it is, beloved young people, to find that person whose name is wonderful, is the counselor for my life, the Almighty God for everything that's arrayed against me, the everlasting Father for all the cares and compassion and love that I need along the way, and the source of peace, that I might go on in peace with my beloved brethren, until he comes. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing will offend them. May the Lord keep you and keep me. May we, I say this to my own heart, learn something of what the Apostle Paul learned. And beloved young people, above all else, as we ask the Lord for counsel, as we count upon the Almighty God, as we feel the love and care of the Everlasting Father, as we walk in the company of the Prince of Peace, may the Lord keep us from ever, ever allowing anything to come in by the grace of God into your life and mine that diminishes in our vision how wonderful is the person of Christ.